Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show.
You have to carry me on this one. When don't I?
Bam! Why would you set it up like T-ball so I could just knock it out of the park?
I'm too weak to even trick you in a setup. I'll just turn over like a puppy.
What's happened? Why so sleepy?
I'm wiped out. I don't know.
All right.
I'm frustrated with the book industry and books in general.
Oh, fair enough.
And book agents and the lack of interest or I can't tell if there's interest, not enough movement. Yeah, or it's not definitive. It's really frustrating. That's the great thing about stand up is you just go up on stage and you try your joke out, and if it works, it's good.
Yes, that is exactly how stand up works, and I appreciate it. So, yeah, you know what I've realized is because it's been 4 weeks, I have not heard back from Audible about. And now all I'm doing is second-guessing about the book.
Right.
And all I'm doing is second-guessing it and going, why don't I watch Galaxy Quest? And I don't know how to make, like, would they want the romance novel to be more meta? Like, should I bookend it? Sort of like, you know, like, because Galaxy Quest was set, there was a character in it that was a fan of Star Trek, essentially, right?
Okay.
I've never seen it. Well, in the last scene, spoiler
alert. It has the word
from,
galaxy in it.
Right, and Quest.
I don't see movies like that, yeah.
You don't know. You're not on a... Oh my God, I was talking to somebody over the weekend and with Brian Regan, but it wasn't Brian Regan who said it.
Gotta tell us about the shows.
Yeah, someone was saying that they can't read nonfiction because you don't learn anything from fiction. They can't read fiction because you can't.
I hate people like that. You learn everything from fiction.
You learn everything from whatever you read. So if you
but it's like poetry and comedy and art. It's all that's where you learn everything.
That you could definitely learn things. Right. I'm like, you want to learn how to put a radio together. You got to read a manual about how to put a radio together. You want to learn about the bigger issues in life.
Mm-hmm.
And you may find out how to put a radio together.
Yeah, if somebody does a novel about a radio guy.
Yeah, a person who puts a radio together, you could learn how to put a radio together.
Anyway. And learn about love. Same time.
Exactly, the same time. Anyway, so I have to figure, so I'm in a spiral about Audible, but not too bad. I'm mostly, here's today's spiral.
Right.
Because, and I sent you a copy of Hillary Clinton sent an email today.
Oh, yes.
Essentially congratulating. There's 100 women going into Washington.
Right.
And the down ballot, there's hundreds and hundreds of women who ran. And they all ran because she was robbed.
Yes. Right.
And so...
She didn't say that explicitly in her email.
At all.
But we all know what happened.
And she literally inspired hundreds of women to run for office.
Right.
Which... is, I mean, it's like doing stand up for 30 years and inspiring
Please don't let that be us, please God.
and it's the thing is I'm psyched about the new generation and I'm happy for them and I'm glad they get things.
Yeah,
but there is part of me that's like, oh man,
yes, that's and all of me. It's only part of you.
It is only part of me, and it's only part of me because that part of me has been squashed by dudes always saying to me, "Man, women never support women. They just don't do it. They're always bitches, and they don't support other women." And so there's part of me that isn't allowed to be mad that I didn't get stuff.
Yeah, right.
Because it feels like it belittles the next generation of what they get.
Right,
and plus. What are they getting? Are they getting it any better than we are getting it?
I have no idea. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what their bank accounts look like. I don't know what the 15-minute special pays. You know what I mean? I actually don't know. Is the money good?
I thought the 15-minute special paid $25,000.
Does it?
That's what I heard.
I've heard things, but I can't say on mic.
Okay. Well, make a.
Is it bigger or smaller? Okay, so strings, you got 15% from a manager, maybe 10% from an agent.
Right.
What do you have at the end? You have maybe 10,000 cash or 15,000 cash?
In 2003, I did my half hour special for right. Comedy Central. The woman who booked me.
Mm-hmm. Joanna?
It wasn't. It was before.
Anne? Oh, okay.
It was.
Lauren?
No. Okay. Well, now too many names are in my head.
Okay.
And it was gone anyway, so yeah. It's so sad. But she booked me, and I didn't have any representation.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, if you get representation in between now and when we sign the papers, they don't get any of the money. And I said, well, wouldn't this be a good way to get representation?
Oh, I'm the same way!
And she said, they don't get any of the money, Jackie. They didn't
Can't
get you
I
this
pay
gig.
Can't I someone to represent me?
Right.
That's I'm the same way.
And she said, if anybody even suggests that they will sign you if they get the money, send them to me. And that's why I'm sad I can't remember her name right now, because yeah. She's a fucking
she's
badass.
She's taking care of you.
Yeah. And I got 15 grand to do a half hour, 22 minutes essentially,
right.
For Comedy Central in 2003. 2002.
Well, money always goes up in comedy. We know that.
Write that down. yes. Money always goes up in comedy. So, but when I, after taxes, I think I got like 11 or 11 grand.
Right.
And I decided to blow it. I was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to, and how did I blow it? I literally was going to go to Egypt. And then there was a murder. Like, they lined up a bunch of tourists and killed them. And then I was going to go to Bali.
I don't remember
that. And there was
that.
A big bombing
oh,
in
I
Bali.
Oh, I remember that.
And so I was like, well, maybe. So what did I end up using all that money for? On my career. I went to New York for a month.
And it cost you $11,000. That seems reasonable, actually.
I don't think you
live extravagantly.
I might have been more longer than that. It might have been 6 weeks, eight weeks. But the thing is there's more work, but it's like I get to be disappointed that my work didn't pay off the way
yes.
it did for dudes of my generation.
Right.
And
yes.
that doesn't make me a bitch.
Right.
It does not make me a bad person that I'm slightly irritated.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't, if Hillary Clinton was a raging bitch about this,
mm-hmm.
I would not begrudge her. But
right.
it wouldn't do her any good to
right.
do it, to be it, which is why I'm not it, which is why none of us are. Because it doesn't help your work.
It doesn't, but it is, it's so frustrating.
It's tempting.
it really tempting. Is.
Yeah. So, but, that's what, and I went off on this thing on Twitter about how dudes are, because I've talked to two and a half, I haven't had the guts to talk to the third one fully, about their lineups at clubs.
Good for you.
And the two guys that I've talked to,
the club owners.
Club owners
okay.
are it's their fault for being good guys.
Right.
Because one of them said to me, he really did not want to have the conversation. He
yeah.
goes, are you not getting enough work? And I said, no, I am getting enough work, but it seems like I should help the people behind me
yeah.
or who are at the same level as me,
yes,
but aren't
right.
getting the work.
Right, right,
like there's
right.
women our age who right. have the chops.
Yes.
But don't have the, either they don't have the credits or they don't have the representation.
Right, right, right.
And, and then there's, and so and one of the club owners was explaining, how I wish I had a pen. I would tell you who, but I'll
fuck.
Tell you later.
Okay.
The but he was explaining how the big agencies,
yeah,
were making these deals for the comics.
Yeah.
So if there's if you are with a big agency,
here's your pen and paper.
All right.
Okay.
If you are with a big agency and you were wondering why you're not getting into a club,
mm-hmm.
it might be because your agent said, well, they'll only work Friday, Saturday. And if they have sellout bonuses, if they sell out the rooms, they should get bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
Because the club owner that I'm talking about said he always sells out Friday and Saturdays, 8 months.
Oh, so why should he bonus?
So right. there should be no, and they're unwilling to work the Thursday or let's say it's a Wednesday or Saturday, they're unwilling to work those other 2 days, so they have to fill it locally.
Right.
And he was like, well, if
write
you...
Write that down. I want to know which club this is.
Oh, it's... And so...
Jeez, I can't even...
Right. It's upsetting.
Jackie, how is this word?
You gave me a marker that doesn't fucking work. How is it my fault?
Oh, I see it finally.
There
Jeez.
You go. Yeah. Feel free to get me a pen. And or feel free
I'm sorry
for
to
me.
Provide you with a
exactly.
pen. I turned the heater on. I brought you water. I served you nice ice water.
And the ice hadn't even melted.
Yeah.
So nice. Allow me to
God, I
somehow
got it.
Pander. And but so I've done that, and I've done this is the other club that I talked to.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay. Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the clubs, and they're like, well, and so the couple of things came out of the conversation with this one club owner, which is it's easier to just book with the big agencies that you're already booking two comics with, and if they only have the six women that have really good representation, you're going to see those six women a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And like Acme books me,
right?
And I don't have fancy representation, but TJ at Gersh is helping me.
Yeah.
Some. So, but he doesn't book that because it's my home club. But and he brings like Tracy Ashley, because mm-hmm. Tracy Ashley came up in Acme and Mary Mack. And, but then I'm sure the six other women comics that Lewis books for the year are, the squeaky wheels that have really good rep. And so, like, I'm going to Acme in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll have to have that conversation with him. And I don't look forward to it because it's my home club. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a list.
Yeah, I was just going to say a list of names of headliners you know that will crush.
That will work the whole week.
Yeah, yeah,
the
sure,
Wednesday
sure.
through Saturday.
Yeah.
And their direct email.
Yeah.
And, and then if you send the booker
mm-hmm.
to these people, then
yeah,
then that's up to you. And I was thinking of breaking it down into, because you know how it is sometimes, because if it's easier to book whoever is with APA or mm-hmm. not APA, I guess APA
WME,
lost all their
whatever.
Yeah, like APA lost all their comics. Do you hear
they
about
did?
That?
What happened?
I think CAA stole them.
Oh.
Yeah, there was some sort of drama. And I think like one of the agents left and took them all.
Wow.
Yeah, there was drama. And
so APA's looking for comics to rep.
Maybe.
Basically.
Or agents.
Yeah.
Yeah. And or they've decided to go in another direction.
Mm.
We don't know.
I doubt it.
And yeah, so that, I mean, so I'm going to make a list, and I'm thinking of breaking it down as simple as possible. I'm like, she's clean. She's smart. Mm-hmm. She's dirty. And I'll compare. And this is where a lot more work would be involved. But I there's part of me that wants to look at the rosters and go, here's a guy that you book. Here's the female better equivalent.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But it also feels gross that I'd have to do such a thing. And
yeah,
I don't know. Of course, a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. It has to be pointed out. I'm sure. I really feel like these guys don't even realize it. Like, they just think they have a couple women a year and like, all right, good, done. Right. You know, I mean, booking's got to be a pain in the ass.
Well, that's,
running a club in general has got to be a disaster, a nightmare. Drinks,
it literally is.
Booking, whatever.
Even so, booking the Dork Forest is a pain in the
ass. Okay, yeah. So just like if you can get it all done in a day, there's some clubs that book it all in
it's
a day.
It's Ridley. Ridley does he does it all in September for the following year.
That
Which
guy.
Is
whatever.
Right.
But I mean, so to have empathy, they're not necessarily.
No, they're not monsters.
Yes.
They're just, everyone takes the path of least resistance.
Yes, right. So,
but for me to fix it or for.
But you say, hey, you know what? Could I have a few. Because you're not trying to get work for yourself necessarily.
Nope.
You're like, I hope I see you next year. I have a couple friends who would murder in this room. They're women. Your female audience members love it. It's good for everybody. Here's some names.
Oh, that is actually a good way to put that. I love
yeah.
that. Yeah, I and because the other part is that I don't want to do the work either.
Right.
Because I feel like I'm doing the work for them.
Yeah.
But I think, and I also, and did you hear me say that I could fix this? I can't fix shit. Why do I think I could fix things? Why? I'm like, hey, Mrs. Kravitz, why don't you, you're a meddler.
Who is Mrs. Kravitz? What's that reference from?
It's from Bewitched.
Oh,
she was their neighbor in Bewitched.
I like how you reference shows that have been off the air for 30 years without any context.
Has anyone seen anything new? Jackie hasn't. That's the good news. I did just see the Mr. Rogers documentary.
Oh, I heard
it's
great.
On the airplane. It's on Delta.
Oh.
And it was, who doesn't want to tear up on an airplane?
My next flight will be United.
All right. Well, check. I also watched a thing called Ramen Heads.
No, I'm not watching that.
It's a documentary about ramen noodle soup.
I'm not watching that. I figured that out. No. Oh, in Japan?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we'll watch it.
Right. No, it isn't about cuppas. It's not like a bowl of... It's not ramen square. You would actually like it. I actually posted a thing on my Instagram. I recorded... Because it had subtitles, and it was this guy talking about ramen noodle soup, and it's exactly how I feel about stand-up. And how it's got to, every bowl you make has to be better. And you're like, okay, all right, man, you're inspiring me.
I had a bunch of shows. Okay, so this week I had a couple shows in Santa Monica, which is 5 miles from probably the worst fires in the history of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Sold out shows. Like, the West Side was sold out. I was at... Temesal had a show. It wasn't sold out, but there was a lot of people there.
Yeah, full.
And there's destruction. People's lives are being lost or destroyed just 5 miles north, and life goes on. Life is a cabaret, my friend. as we haul Jews to a camp and go to a jazz club in Germany or whatever.
Oh my God, swing Heil.
And then.
Then
on Saturday I had a show in Goleta, so I had to go up to the 101 and then up the 5 and then curve around on the 118.
You had to take the 118 around?
Yeah, and then the fucking Google Maps tried to get me on 126, which was a death hot. Remember I told you I was driving on 126 to this gig at a Mexican restaurant in Santa Paula.
No.
And
how many times have you told that story?
Okay.
So many times.
So it's pitch black and it's an unprotected 2-lane highway. There's no barrier between.
Good Lord.
And I come up on a fresh accident. And
wow.
I called 911 and then I kept going because I had a gig, folks. And it turns out there was like a death in that, but like somebody had crossed over the, I was
because
going west and the person going east crossed over and did a head on collision with somebody who could have been me had I been there a minute and a half earlier.
Right.
And then I get to the gig and Tom, he's like, oh yeah, that's called the Death Highway. Well, fucking tell me that before I come out to your show on Death Highway.
I never want to take Death Highway to a gig. I don't want to do it. Is that where Kinison died? I'm not driving that highway.
That was on the way to Laughlin. And I only know that because I listened to Sandy Hackett on Mark Maron this week or something.
Oh, wow. Did you know?
But I got to this gig. And again, it's two sold out shows. No one gives a shit.
People give a shit. They're just looking for entertainment. I'm going.
True.
This will have aired, but I'm opening for Maria at Oxnard, mm-hmm. and then I'm doing Jordan's Landing over the weekend in
Where's
Utah.
That? Oh, Utah.
But the Wise Guys in Jordan's Landing.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Nikki Glaser playing downtown.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Right. I was like, so if I'm hoping that everyone who can't get into Nikki's show.
Oh, she's playing opposite you?
Yeah, yeah. that's fine.
Yeah.
And he's got 3 clubs in Salt Lake City.
Does he?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. But there's one in Ogden. That actually isn't in Salt Lake City. It's in Ogden.
Do you
Ogden.
Have to be clean? You're not clean. You're a filth monger.
What happened here?
Nikki's filthy too. You don't have to be clean. Why am I asking
thing
that?
Salt
Lake used to be like that, though.
It used to be like that. And they don't... What they want is funny. And he's trained his audiences.
Yeah.
That guy's great.
Is it Keith?
Keith Stubbs. He's trained his audience over the last 25 years that they're like, I'm not going to bring you monsters. I'm going to bring you people with good comedy that has adult content.
Yeah, right.
And so, but the night before I'm doing Levities in Oxnard.
Yeah.
And I was like, Maria said, so... I'm opening for Maria, and she said, do you want to give the money to the firefighters or the Widows and Orphans Fund? Mm-hmm. And I said, of course. You can't ask somebody that and then have them go, no, no. And of course, I'm more than willing to do that. But I don't know if we're going to be able to get there. Are we going to be able to get to Oxnard?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
The 101 is
fine?
You're
going to have to do some back roads. Oh, don't take 126 after 5 o'clock at night, because it's pitch black at 5 o'clock at night.
But we're going to, like, it looks like the 101 is open through Thousand Oaks.
It might be.
Okay. Oh, and Maria, you know, she called me up last week and she said, hey, is your house okay? And I said, do you not remember my act? My act.
It's also so far away from it.
Well, in my act, I used to tell this joke about how whenever there's a fire, I get a call from home and they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, to live near a hill or a tree in Los Angeles, you have to have a giant bag of money. If there's ever a sweeping strip mall fire, I'm fucked. But
By the way, I find out, like, I had an anxiety attack on our chat room because... Oh. Do you remember this? Or you weren't weighing in that much?
Oh, the text feed?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm going to just stop saying names.
Please do.
And try to make it so no one knows what I'm talking about. But
Phyllis Diller is on our text feed. Go.
No. So I'm at a show and somebody's doing a TV. They're preparing a TV set, right?
Oh.
So... And they're going up right before me. So I'm listening because I'm forced to. That's the only reason I listen.
They're right up there.
And first there's a joke where I'm like, oh, there's a little tweak you could do in that I think would make that joke
clear.
Look
at you. Okay. Helping.
So I'm ready to tell this person my idea.
Yeah.
Then I hear one of my jokes.
One of your fucking jokes.
Yep. That's a very I haven't done it in a while, and it's like I did it for a decade straight that I shamed myself. I'm like, fucking let it go for a little bit, you know. But I did it on
is it on an album?
No, but it's on TV spots.
Oh, there you go. It's yours.
It is mine. And it's and
is this person
comics in San Francisco will often repeat it back to me and say that's their favorite joke of mine. And I was doing it in this New York, when I moved to New York, where this person was, I was still doing it.
You were still doing it.
It was
then.
Part of my road act, and it worked, and I kept it until I shed it for New York jokes, right?
Right.
So
it's not that they might not have ever seen it. Most likely they have seen it.
Heard it, yeah.
Yeah.
And the wording is so specific, and there's a made up word in the joke
that is also being used.
Yeah. The whole thing, I was like stunned. So the person got off stage and I immediately said, hey, that's an old joke of mine.
Yeah.
And that person said, okay. And I think, the conversation kind of went back and forth a little bit, but it was more like, you know, kind of that I get it. That happens or something. And then I think that person indicated they weren't going to do it.
Okay. So what TV spots did you do where you did it?
Ugh, you know,
like Comedy on the Road.
On the Road, and I think I did it on Girls Night Out, maybe.
Okay,
but I've had it for a long time.
No, those
David
two shows.
David Tell
are...
complimented me. That was he's never complimented me. He complimented me on that joke. David Tell did.
Okay, so
a
and
long
he's,
time ago,
and he's 100. So we know that it's been.
But it's also one where I was like, hey, if I do another album this year, it was part of a chunk where I talked about when I was fat, mm-hmm. and I was just like, I'm done with talking about fat. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just done with it. So I
but I need time for this new album, so I'm not going to throw
it back.
Away.
Bring it back. I'm ready to talk about fat again, Jackie.
Fair enough. You have to process it.
So now it's just a waiting game to see
if it happens.
Set.
Right.
See if the person doesn't. But the other thing is, like, how long has this person been working that set out doing that joke?
Right.
And will people? If I bring it back, go, oh, I heard that she stole that from so-and-so.
Except for that, you have stacks and stacks of VHSs.
I know, but the regular audience, I'm not going to pull out a VHS tape and show an audience.
No.
You know?
No, but I think that, but everyone does. There was something they were showing. It was this person and this person doing the exact same joke, and they were YouTube split screen, and I forget who it was. Stop stealing jokes. Just fucking write a joke. It's not going to... I will say this about Brian Regan this weekend. He did a joke. I love watching Brian Regan work a new joke.
Yeah.
Into an audience of 2,200 people.
Oh, my God.
He's like, oh, I got a new chunk. I'm going to work on it.
That's like working out new stuff at Hermosa Beach. Yeah, yeah. No.
It was so great. Wow. And he did.
I couldn't do it. I'd be too nervous.
I couldn't either, but he does those rooms.
He has no choice, though.
He doesn't have a choice.
He doesn't go to open mics or alt rooms in Las Vegas, right?
Right. And he did say he went to this club.
Yeah.
And because he likes to go to a club after the show and hang out with comics.
Oh, okay.
And he asked the headliner for a guest set. And the guy said no.
What?
Yep. I got a gasp from...
But you know what? That guy's not a real stand-up.
Right, and so he doesn't want to follow Regan.
Of course not.
Regan doing a tenor.
Of course not.
And so...
I'm going to turn the heat down. Are you guys boiling?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, right. I'm not. Take the blanket off.
Okay. All right. Jeez.
Lose your fucking blanket.
You know, I try to make it like a ski chalet, and all I get are complaints.
Well, it's nice that we can see the ice skating pond from here. And watching his set this... I haven't worked with him since Carnegie Hall, which, by the way...
By the way, hold on. I can't believe he was denied a guest set.
Yeah.
He must have been shocked.
He was slightly shocked. But
how did that even go down? He just mentioned...
And then afterwards, that guy came out after the show and gave him a big hug and was like, it's so good to see you.
Wow!
Yeah, he said Brian said he rarely ever asks for a guest set, but he's trying... I think he wants to do more new stuff, and he thinks it's interesting to do it in front of smaller crowds.
Sure, of course.
Everyone asks for guest sets. So he thought it was just a weird thing that he had
That's
asked.
That's incredibly weird.
Right. It's sort of, you know.
Shocking.
Right. Here's a weird thing. He let me buy him a beer. He usually never lets me buy him any. Like, I was like, do you want a beer? And he said, yeah. And then he's usually like, well, why don't I go get the drinks? So we've reached a new level of our friendship where he's like, no, Cation can buy.
Yeah, that's nice. Because I bet everyone expects him to pay for everything.
And he probably does.
To not have to sometimes.
Right.
He saved $4, but it feels good. It feels good.
Yes. And, but the new stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was going to tell you is the new stuff because I worked with him that Carnegie Hall gig, and we were talking about being
Carnegie Hall?
Yeah, Carnegie.
Yeah,
Hall. Or Carnegie?
No, the Carnegie Hall gig. You could just say Carnegie Hall.
You remember how freaked out about it I was?
Yes.
Right. So we were talking about having hard sets and how you'd never forget them.
Right.
And his definition of a hard set, by the way, I would have loved to have seen, because he was describing how hard that he didn't think the set went well. And I was like, oh, did they not stand up at the end of it? Is that was the sad part? I didn't say that. But the night before we did Carnegie Hall, I was with him in Albany, New York, and I went short. Remember that story?
Yeah.
I was supposed to do 15 to 20. I did 11 or 12.
Right.
And so I said, it's like that time, the last run, I was pretty sure you were done with me. it was the night before Carnegie Hall, and he was like, what did you do? So he didn't have any, he thought it was weird at the moment.
Yeah.
And then like a sane person.
You just let it go.
He let it go.
Yeah.
How amazing how sane he is here in the gajillionth year of our careers, right?
I know.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But he did a new joke that made me laugh so hard. And he said, well, maybe I don't do that again. And I texted him while he was on stage. And I said, that's the greatest joke. You have to keep that joke. And I don't know if I will affect him at all.
Hmm.
But he decided, we stayed in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
We did Rochester. We did Duluth one night. So we got in his bus, drove to Duluth, drove back to Minneapolis after the show, and crashed at the hotel.
Yeah.
The next night, we do Rochester. We drive to Rochester, do the show, drive back to Minneapolis, do the show, and sleep at the hotel. The next night, we do Minneapolis, and then after the show, we drive to Winnipeg. which is 7 hours, 8 hours.
Ooh.
But there's...
By the way, I'm barely following this in my head.
Oh, because you're all punchy?
Yes.
That's fine.
But nope. I did come to on 7 hour drive because I know that's bad. Right.
So Duluth was fine. Rochester show was amazing, quite honestly. I had a really good time. But so after the show at Rochester, he's like, isn't there a club? And there is. There's a Goonies.
Goonies? What the fuck?
Goonies? It's called Goonies, you guys. But the thing is,
I love comedy club names. Remember Sir Laughs a Lot?
Yeah, it's a comedy
in
castle.
In Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin. Sir Laughs a Lot. And
what the hell?
I know people shouldn't be allowed to name their own comedy clubs.
Sir Laughs a Lot Inc. Like, you got a check? You got a 1099 from Sir Laughs a Lot?
What do you do for a living? Well, I think it's pretty obvious.
My lady.
Instead of an opener, I travel with a squire.
Is Goonies a Wednesday through Saturday?
It's a Friday Saturday.
It sounds like a Friday Saturday.
It's been there for 15 years.
Okay.
And it used to be in a historic downtown building.
Is it in a hotel now?
No, it's in essentially sort of a privately owned Applebee's. And
Goonies. What's happening to you?
He's not happy about it either. He was in this historical building for like 11 years.
Wow.
And then I guess there's new IT jobs all over Rochester, Minnesota.
Oh.
And so all the rents went through the roof. And
the internet is just destroying this fucking country left and right.
You can't get away from it. And so now he's out in the boons. And so we go there, and you know who's headlining is Dave Waite.
Oh.
And you know who's featuring? Our featured comic of the week.
Oh, cool. What time is it? Perfectly
timed. Is that a half 31. Hour? 31 minutes in? Okay, well then let's do that, and then I'll tell the rest of the...
Okay.
Mary Saldora. It's Saldora. And her Twitter feed is... T-O-R-A. Saldora.
Yeah, that didn't sound right.
Yeah, not a D, not
Santora.
David. Santora. There we go. Mary _ Santora.
Like Carla Santana, but a little different.
Yes, Lord.
Those are musical. Just like that.
I was at a dinner tonight. A work dinner. Is a writer's birthday.
Yeah.
So I can
writers
never.
Writers are born. They're made.
Prosciutto is a drink. But every time someone offers me some, I think it's pasta. And I was like, would you like some prosciutto? Yes. I was so excited. And then
prosciutto
it was a drink.
Prosciutto isn't a drink. Prosecco is a drink.
That's what I'm talking about. Prosciutto is pasta, right?
Yeah. No, prosciutto's ham.
Well, like, whatever it is. Prosecco sounds like it's going to be good food.
Right.
And I got real excited. And then there was
sweet liqueur.
Then I got a drink in my hand, which I did drink.
Just so you know. She had an adult beverage. But Mary Santora, first of all, so I know Dave Waite. You know Dave Waite?
Yes.
He does the blind barber here.
Yes.
So.
Is he from, why did he go all the way to Minnesota? Is he from there?
Yeah, Minneapolis guy.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't know him very well there. And I know him better here. And I'm sorry that they only had one show on the Friday. Because I would have loved to have seen his long set. And I would have loved to have seen Mary Santora's set. But Mary Santora's set I had to watch on the internet. But I looked her up. And as soon as they said, it's Dave Waite and Mary Santora. And I said, so I immediately look up Mary Santora. And I'm looking at her tour schedule. And I'm like, oh, this fucking woman is grinding it out as a feature.
Ow.
This is like 1995
400,
500. If that.
Yeah, right.
And no place to stay usually.
No place
except
to stay.
Except forget this. Goonies puts up the features.
Ooh.
Goonies. There you go, Kyle Clark.
Oh, my God. He's Googling Goonies.
And the owner guy, Mark, is a good guy. So, fantastic.
Why are you holding out on this gig with me? How come I never heard of it before?
Well, I never did it. It's only been there. Remember, I've been doing stand-up for 3,700 years. And I haven't
15?
Done. Well, but I moved away from.
Oh my God.
But isn't
I have to work there.
But isn't Wise Guy's got motto the same thing?
Maybe.
I think Wise Guy's in Utah has that or this.
I have to work both of them in the same year now.
Because this place is a joke. And but Mary Santora, very funny, very fun.
Yeah.
So Brian and I go over and it was Brian, Dave, and then two, there was two guys named Andy. who were both comics. One of them was hosting. Uh-huh. One of them was just hanging
and
out.
And you, because you have an Andy, you're full of Andy, and you can't be bothered to memorize anyone's last names.
Right,
if they're
Andys.
Just
Andy. Well, right. Andy Matfield was the MC.
Okay.
I believe his name was Matfield. Mm-hmm. And he ended up giving me a ride back to Minneapolis because they ended up hanging out. And all of a sudden, and I don't want to be a buzzkill, right? I don't want to be a buzzkill. I want everyone to party as long as they want, but I also need to lie down.
Sure.
So at around 2:15 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's only 11:15 California time. Or
right,
10,
but it's
or,
2 days later.
Okay. All right. So you've
and
adjusted.
I just came back from Vietnam.
Okay.
So.
All right. You got your excuses all lined up
all
and ready to go.
All kinds of ducks in a row. And so I'm looking at Lyft from Rochester. To
oh
Minneapolis.
No!
Yeah, which would be a pain in the ass for the poor Lyft driver.
Oh yeah, right.
And so, but the Andy Matfield guy lives in Minneapolis, and he's one of those, you know, those. And this is a compliment, Andy Matfield, is that I love a nerd comic who's like, I'm going to stop drinking and not get a DUI. So we went from Goonies to a place called the Crooked Pint, and then to an Elks Club.
I got lost again. What happened?
You're okay.
Okay.
So he had stopped drinking at Goonies, so it was like an hour and a half earlier.
So you went to two other places, even though you wanted to go back home?
Well, I wanted to hang out with everybody.
Okay.
So we all hung out, we hung out.
Okay.
And then around 2:15 a.m., I was done hanging out.
You didn't have a hotel in Rochester?
No, we were back in Minneapolis. That was part of the earlier story.
I'm so
you
fucking
missed.
Confused.
And that was part of the earlier one you missed.
Okay.
So young Andy Matfield gave me a ride back.
Okay.
To Minneapolis. And so 3:15, I get a text message from Brian going, and I said goodbye to everybody.
Yeah.
But he's like, are you okay? I just noticed you weren't here. And I was like, I'm fine. Just coming into the hotel right now. See you tomorrow. And so the next night is Minneapolis, and we go to Acme after the show. This has been, it was really fun to go to clubs after we did
yes.
the show.
Who's headlining?
Robert Kelly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, New York guy.
Yeah.
And
do you know him?
I don't.
He's like the nicest guy.
Yeah. That's what Lewis was saying.
Yeah.
Brian was busting
his
balls.
He has a gigantic personality. Yeah. He's originally from Boston.
Oh, okay.
He was he moved to New York as Tough Crowd was ending. Bobby Kelly was just sort of
Kelly, that's right. It's Robert Kelly on his headshot, but everyone calls him Bobby.
He was just sort of being, he and Bill Burr were kind of being brought into the cellar table at that time and were sort of like on the march up, and then Tough Crowd ended, or they would have been on all the time.
Right. He seemed really nice, but Brian was giving him guff because he had to bolt after his set, and he goes, hey, is Lewis still around? And Brian goes, oh, you didn't see him? He was in the back of the room during your set. And I saw him just sort of storm out. And Bobby Kelly was like, oh, did he? Did he just storm out? And I think Robert Kelly, his balls have been busted before.
Yes.
And so they riff on this for almost like 45 seconds to a minute about Lewis's supposed
being appalled at Bobby's set. Yeah.
And I tried to interject something. It was not that successful because I don't know Bobby Kelly.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge ball buster.
Right.
But I just, I added something about Lewis screaming at the sky like Wolverine. Again, was not even appropriate to the crowd. So it did not go very well.
Recreating that scintillating scenario.
Anyway, but so at which point Bobby Kelly says the funniest thing. He goes, how weird would it be if as I go back to the hotel right now, you guys find out I killed myself? And we laughed so hard. He's like, yeah, we found just a note from Robert Kelly that said never, never, never. And then I had voided the check. And at which point I came to life and I was like, you don't void the check. What just happened? You don't void the check. And at which point then I did get a laugh because both of them were like, wow, all right, she's come to life at the voiding of the check.
Why oh my God.
I think he has kids. Doesn't he have kids?
He just had a baby.
Yeah. Don't void the check.
Had a baby.
You're gonna murder yourself? Cash the check. Mobile deposit.
Hey, you don't have to tell me twice. I know.
You know. You get it. So anyway, and then we took the overnight bus to Winnipeg, mm-hmm. and there's bunk beds in the bus.
Right. Are you top or bottom?
Brian spends a lot of time on the bus, so he's got a full bedroom, right?
Right.
The bunk bed can be comfortable if you take time to do something about
it. What kind of a mattress is it?
It's like
a Casper or no?
It's a Tempur-Pedic. No, okay. I don't think so. Right. It's just a bunk. Mm-hmm. It's just a bunk bed.
Doesn't sound comfortable.
It's okay if, but it's got, but you have to like it had too many blankets and pillows in it.
I feel personally attacked right now.
Why?
Because I have a lot of pillows and blankets out.
Oh yeah, I took a couple of pillows off of this fucking thing because it was just like I'm surrounded.
They were free. Now what am I supposed to do with them?
Please write down the words. They were free.
They came with the couch. The lady threw them in.
Yeah. Well, you know why? Because they're a pain in the ass.
Yeah, they're awful. I hate them.
You know what? You got to give them away because there are people out there who love freaking pillows.
All right.
They love a pillow on a couch. You're not sitting in a room with anyone who does. So, yeah, you can let that. Anyway, so we slept and then we got to the border. We had to get off the bus. It was 12 degrees.
Oh, my God.
It was snowing. And I, of course, this is a great story, but I forgot hat and mittens. And so I had to buy hat and mittens again. And
do they sell that at the border, at the Canadian border?
No, I bought them in Minneapolis because it was also 13 degrees in Minneapolis with some light snow. And so that was the reason I had to leave Rochester, by the way, is I had to have breakfast with my siblings. Mm. I have two brothers and a sister who live in Minneapolis. And so I might have lasted longer if I didn't have to get up at 8:30 the next morning for breakfast.
8:30?
Yeah.
Your family made you get up at 8:30 for breakfast?
Well, they didn't make me. No, they
it was, I'm outraged.
You're outraged. But so I didn't get to sleep until like 3:34. And so
Let's see. Oh, I separated this chunk I'm working on. I thought, oh, it has to be married to this other chunk. That's how I lead into it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Karate chop.
Yeah.
I separated them. And they don't need to be associated with each other. So I don't
have
to.
The death of the callback. Thank
God.
No,
it's not it. No. No.
The callback remains.
No, it's not. It's lives. Not a callback I'm chopping
No, you're not
up.
Even
it's,
talking about a callback.
It's me thinking, okay, I have to talk about this one topic before I go into this other thing. And then all of a sudden, if I'm like, oh, I want to work on this joke, I have to do these other three jokes first. You know, that it's an obligation. It's like I only have 10 minutes. I don't want to do stuff I already know works.
Right. It's a karate chop.
Yeah. So I chopped it off and it worked. It worked as a solo piece.
Yeah.
Now it still needs a better ending, but you know that'll come hopefully.
Did you read that article about Mark Birbiglia's solo show? Mike Birbiglia's solo show.
I've read something about it. I don't know if I read the same article as you.
In Vulture, they had this thing. Is it stand up?
Oh no! I gotta read it. Yes, I'm so there. Like,
fuck you. Does he say it's stand up? It turns out him and Hannah Gadsby are doing stand up. Everyone's doing stand up if it's stand up. If he's and the solo show is now a solo show, but he worked it as an hour on the road, just doing stand up.
Yeah, I remember him going to Bloomington, and it was like cheap tickets because he was working it out. It's like $5.
Yeah.
So he's a. Is it just him on stage on Broadway?
I believe so.
God.
And there might be, I don't know, maybe there's a sheet draped, which maybe makes people think, oh, there's set design. It can't possibly be stand up.
Why? We never got that organized
stuff. He's my arch enemy.
How so?
Because I think that I could do what his career is.
Yeah.
But he's either doing something I'm not doing to get there.
Yeah.
Possibly living in New York City. so either I'm not doing something or people are not coming to me and
that's
going,
not a path. I mean, you can't, he sort of, he, you know,
he became friends with Ira Glass.
Yes, that helps. So that changes his voice as a comic.
NPR. Yeah, he's got the NPR angle.
Right. So he's going for that audience. So that changes that. And then that leads to different kinds of opportunities that pay way more money than our opportunities do.
But I love Mike Birbiglia, is what I'm saying. And so, but he's my arch enemy because I'm slightly jealous. But I'm very supportive in my jealousy. And he has no idea that he's my arch enemy. Even though
every time
I see him,
yeah,
I tell him I'm arching. I'm like, hey, man, you don't know it. But I did a bunch of new stuff opening for Brian that Carmen Morales said the greatest thing to me and freed me up so much because I'm always super nervous about those. And you've heard me talk about it. Wow. but I get nervous with his audiences where I'm like, am I going to be clean enough? Is it not? Is it going to be too much?
That would
of this
make me or nervous too.
Right.
Because people are bringing their families to see him
and
stuff like that.
A couple of 11-year-olds sitting in the second row.
Right.
And so, but I was like, and Morales just sort of was just busted by chops. And she was like, just believe that you aren't a monster. You know, because you're not going to do anything that's going to scar an 11-year-old or make their parents think, well, why did we bring a child to this any more than they would with Brian's act, which is also never. I mean, it's adult content.
Yeah.
He's a grown up man doing stand up comedy. He just doesn't talk about sex. He doesn't happen to swear and he doesn't talk about bodily functions.
Yeah.
Just because those aren't the jokes he writes.
Right, right, right.
And it's not, I believe.
Is it mostly parenting stuff then?
No, it's a. He had 5 new minutes on courtesy. Every time I see him, I said, "Oh, yeah, I see you got the new courtesy chunk." And he was like, "What?" I said, "You always have at least a new 3 to 17 minute bit about how people should be saying thank you, not skipping in line, not being monsters." And he's like, "I do, don't I?"
So he's not talking about being a dad.
No, about 4 years ago, he had a bunch of dad stuff.
Yeah.
But
he doesn't kids have are mostly, kids anymore.
Well, the kids are mostly, his son is 19. His daughter's 15. He does one
really?
Of.
Really?
Yeah.
They're that old?
Yeah. And.
Wow. So he's almost in the Chad Daniels phase of his life where he doesn't have to be home a lot to parent soon. Right.
And the kids don't want to be on the, because that's, see, he'd never, like, I've only been with a couple of times when we went to clubs after to see stand-up because I usually work the weeks where he brought the kids.
Oh.
And the kids have their own bunk beds. And and at the time, when I first started working for him, they had a nanny who would hang out with them during the show.
Yeah.
And but now, at this age, they don't necessarily want to travel around.
No.
Some, they want to hang out with their dad, I'm sure. But, I mean, not as much.
Wow.
So he's got a great new chunk about being OCD. Mm. He's got a great new chunk about courtesy. Mm-hmm. He's got a bunch of new silly sort of short stuff that are awesome.
I wonder, am I going to be, when my kid is like 18, am I going to be, because I'll be 60.
Yeah.
Am I still allowed to be in show business at that age?
No. I don't know if you know this about show business, but
I mean, I would like to have the career that these guys are able to have after their kids grow up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will I be allowed to?
You will get to. We will make this
I don't
so,
know.
Kyle.
I'm feeling very,
make a
I'm
note
very
that we need to make this so. That Lori Kilmartin still gets to do stand-up comedy in 7 years.
I feel very, very
fragile.
No, not fragile, just like cynical about the business, you know? Like I just feel like I
don't know what to do with that.
What do you mean?
I don't know why that's funny. Why is it?
Oh, I mean, because it's a nightmare
hellscape. Oh, right, because it's always been a nightmare. Oh, he's laughing at your clear sanity.
Because it's
that
not
that has come through.
It's not dark enough. Right. Or like he's like you're cynical.
Well, it's just like the fact that you haven't been cynical for the last 30 years, I think, is where the surprise
I
comes.
I am. I just had annoying conversations or lack of conversations today about the book I wanted to write, which apparently no one is into.
Oh, weird.
And I'm like, really? I think it would be whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, and then I'm like, am I not explaining it right? Or do people just not, you know,
think it's going to have any legs or?
I don't know. And then I got my royalty statement for Dead People Suck and how many books I sold. And I don't know if it's a good amount or not. I mean, it's not right, a bestseller.
Right.
But I don't know. Is it good? You know, is it looked at as a, she here's did okay.
Who's looking at it like that?
Well, the publisher would be.
Okay.
They send you a royalty statement.
And a judgment in a card that says, we're judging you because of this royalty statement.
No, but I mean, you know, like.
But they are probably.
Of course. And yeah. When I met with an agent to talk about the President Hillary Clinton book, yeah. Like one of the first things he asked was, how many books did you sell? And I didn't know because I hadn't got my statement yet. And I came back to L.A. and it was in the mail. And then I sent him that. He goes, okay, good. It felt like, oh, okay, good.
All right.
Like a pat on the head, you know?
Right. Well, but he said, okay, good. Was it enthusiastic good?
Because it was an email. It was an email.
Oh, an email. So it's impossible to tell.
Like when I met Rebecca Sophier, who has a book called Modern Loss. And
okay.
She had a bunch of comics. Each write essays and stuff about it.
Okay.
And non-comics too.
Yeah.
But she has like a whole community on Facebook and they talk about it. And I can't keep going with something like that. I'm like, right. It's out. I hope you like it.
Right.
But and I can't, I don't want to keep living in grief or talking about it to people.
Right.
I'm on to the next things that I want to talk about.
Another sign of sanity. Yes.
Well,
good for you.
Just, you know, I'm a comic. I'm not a death expert and I'm not an expert in anything except making jokes about my life.
Yeah.
As it currently is right now.
Right, as it continues. And you'd like it to continue. So, what about this?
Well, I guess maybe I'm, you know, like if I'd have gone all in on Shitty Mom and decided to be like, I'm Shitty Mom. And, you know, that could have been a thing. And this could have been a thing too, but it's not how I want to brand.
I don't want to brand the Shitty Mom comic, by the way.
I don't want to brand myself like that.
Right.
I just want to brand myself as a funny comic who writes funny books.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Write a book about whatever's in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is Shitty Mom was in front of you, and then Death was in front of you, mm-hmm. and now the insanity of the Hillary Clinton Donald Trump comparison is in front of you.
Yeah, so, but it's now I don't know if I wouldn't write it for free.
No.
And like I had talked to somebody, I talked to an animator, and she goes, well, I'll give you my quote. And I'm like, well, slow down. If we're not getting an advance, it's not happening. I'm not paying. I already, after 30 years in the business, broke even on a special I paid for myself. Like I'm not paying to create things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Fuck. I hate this. I hate.
Did you break even on the CISO?
Yeah. Even.
Congratulations.
Zero. You know what that means? Zero, Jackie. Even means zero.
You know what will make an excellent Horcrux?
Hmm.
Being in red, in the red. Not being in the black.
How much?
Probably $7,000 under. So that doesn't mean that I will sell it for $7,000.
It's coming back out.
You know,
you're crawling out of the hole.
No, I'm digging out of the hole. And for me, I mean, I look at that stuff. I look at the check, right? I look at the like the checks that I get from things, and then I don't get additional work because from wherever that check comes from. I always think to myself, this is free money. It's done. You've already been paid for it. Just work on the next thing. But your attitude might be better because you're like, well, is that a good number? Is that a number enough to springboard into something new? So because that's
you mean
what,
the book sales?
Yeah, like the royalty check. You're like, okay, is this
a good
enough money?
Well, I didn't get a
royalty
check. I got a statement.
Oh.
Here's how royalties work. So say they, this isn't the actual sum. Say they paid me $50,000 to write the book, okay?
Right.
So I get a royalty statement saying that the book earned $10,000. That means I'm still under $40,000.
Ah, so you would get royalties after?
After I meet the 50, then I would get the split, whatever the royalty split is, the books that are sold after that.
Right.
So it might not be, it could be like 7 years from now.
Right.
Like I'm $3,000 more, and then I start splitting the royalties of Shitty Mom with
right.
three other people.
Right.
And it came out in 2012.
Yeah.
So you know, it's nothing to count on.
Right. No,
unless you're like Cheryl Strayed and you write, you know, an incredible book or something. But.
Right. Or 4 books a year and it's cumulative. Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
And
royalties are rare. It has to be a massive bestseller.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, I think about the difference between residuals and what are musical royalties called? Are they called royalties?
I think they are.
They're called music royalties. They made such a better deal.
Yeah.
Music wise, because my album royalties are awesome. TV residuals go down every time they air it. Like there's percentage, they chip away at it forever. Music doesn't. Which means the audio doesn't.
Songwriters make so much fucking money.
I don't know. I don't know why.
Sorry, Jackie. It's the spaghetti talking.
The spaghetti.
Where
talking.
Are we? Is this
5 minutes away?
Okay.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. Yeah, I had my website got redone a little bit.
Cool.
Or at least the store page.
You had to pay someone to do that?
Well, my web guy.
What?
Well, no. He's ongoing. He's ongoing, okay. My web guy. So I asked him if he would do this thing, and he was like, I will.
She said magically, like, it didn't get.
Oh, like I.
Yeah,
like
you had, you paid somebody. I like to know the nuts and bolts.
All right, well.
I took it as a threat. I was like, oh, you're having people make websites now?
Did you see on the Patreon I posted my Hanoi set?
I didn't watch it. No, but everyone loves it.
There's absolutely no. I didn't watch your set from '89. I'm not a fan of us. I'm not a patron. But I keep meaning to post.
I keep
the second
meaning to
episode.
Watch it. It's. I'm like. I'm gonna watch.
There's nothing
it.
To watch. It's audio.
Okay.
It's and it was a 30-minute set, and I cut out all the stuff that's in my albums. I just left 18 new minutes.
Mm.
I left the 18 new minutes. I was like, here you go, guys. I can't
so
wait.
So 18 minutes of new stuff in a country you've never performed in.
Right.
Sign me up for that one.
Right. That's what this is. This is a mess. It was very exciting live. Everybody was on board. And
I bet.
And I was across the street from the John McCain Lake.
Uh-huh.
That's where I did stand up, where he crashed.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, so I was doing a joke, and one of the jokes I do, one of my new jokes, has a punchline, unless you're 11 and working in a Nike factory, hello, Hanoi. And so in that set, I do that, and then there's a very long pause as I actually think about what I just said.
Wait.
I
was going over, because when I was in Santa Barbara last weekend, I was doing a longer set, so I listened to an old headlining set, and plus I'm trying to prep for hilarity, so I'm not doing all this homework on the plane, and there's a joke I would have gone into without thinking it's about not saving your animal from a house fire.
Right, your animal house fire, not at this time.
Not at this time.
Please.
Not on this coast.
Not in the current atmosphere in Los Angeles. So, but I'm psyched. I'm doing Utah this weekend, and I'm doing I have a bunch of headline weeks.
Oh, that's so great.
And I'm going to be able to work on all these jokes that are new.
Yeah.
And my Yellowstone joke is killing. I'm
Yay!
Pretty psyched about that.
And that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And other than that, it's Thanksgiving this week. This week you're at Hilarity's, right?
I'm at Hilarity's in Cleveland. Please come out if you're
the Friday,
near.
Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, it's a Sunday show too.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm flying back really early on Monday morning going
to
work.
All right.
Yeah, come on out, please.
For the love of God.
For the love of God.
Right. And I don't have any. I'm doing Put Your Hands Together tomorrow night, which will be tomorrow night.
And on December 1st, I will be in Chico, quite close to the Paradise Fire, working this gig. I can't remember the name of it, but it's on my website. If you're in
Chico,
Butte County or Chico at all, come out to that. It'll be pretty
party
fun.
School, man.
Yeah, but right.
It's in between. Chico
now
was,
all it is it's like a Red Cross city for helping refugees.
Right. Well, but it, you know what? It's in between. It's in between Yuba City and Oroville.
Yeah.
Which is Guy Branum from Yuba City.
Oh.
And Andy Ashcraft, my fella, from Oroville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those are the three worst cities in California.
No, but you know what? Modesto? Sorry, Marcella. Have you ever played Modesto?
Oh, she doesn't listen to this.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know who does, though, is Janelle James.
She'll tell that snitch. She'll tell Marcella.
Every time Janelle, did you see Janelle posted, she said every time you slam her about taking a moment off, you're like, get on stage, get back on stage.
Yes.
Janelle James is having a whole life. It's going to be good.
God, she's
we're doing Sketchfest.
What?
We're doing Sketchfest.
We're doing Sketchfest, you and me.
January 27th?
Yes. We're doing a live podcast in San Francisco and a set. And so that's, come on, if you're in the Bay Area, come out for that, please.
And I think either the night before or the night before that, so either the Friday or Saturday, I'm going to do, it's going to be three people headlining, mm-hmm. which by definition doesn't exist.
Right.
It just means three of us will be doing, and I know it's me and Andy Kindler for sure at Cobb's.
How fun.
So
I'm doing, after the night of the 27th, I'm doing a show at Cobb's with Liz Winstead.
Oh my God.
And then the Saturday before that, the 26th, I'm doing Butterboy. They're doing a Butterboy in, at this, the Swedish, I forget the name of
what
it.
What is Butterboy?
It's a Marianne Ways' show that she produces with Maeve Higgins and Aparna and
stand up
third comic on it. Dang it! But yeah, it's a show that they do in Littlefield in Brooklyn.
Oh, I've done that.
Yes.
Hi.
I just did it. Yes.
You just did it in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're gonna do a version of it at Sketchfest.
Joe, the other comic's name is Joe, but I can't remember her last name right now.
All right.
Gah.
She's.
Maybe.
Was she on Facts of Life?
By the way, I was at UCB Sunset. Wait, what'd you say?
Was she on Facts of Life? It's the only joke.
Oh, my God.
It's also from 70 years
ago.
Oh,
my God.
You were at UCB Sunset?
Yes.
How was that?
Wait, so there's a woman, and she says hi to me, and I do not know her name. But I couldn't hide it. I was frozen, because I couldn't say, I couldn't say, tell me your name again.
Yeah.
And it was obvious. I was like, hey, you know that.
Yeah, it was that hey that falls apart.
And
at the
I
end.
Couldn't pull myself out of it to say, I've forgotten your name.
Yeah.
And so I just left it there, and I can't get that knot out of my stomach.
Yeah. Well, you'll die with that.
Okay.
What?
Hey, we're done.
See ya.
Bye.